Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Today's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at Starbucks. They're our presenting partner for the remainder of the year. We are happy to be working with them, and not just because they're one of the biggest globally recognized brands in the world, but also because they've hired 21,000 veterans and military spouses. They have 50 military family stores, which are amazing. They have different little trinkets and things in their military stores where you can go and hang out. They have all their hiring initiatives for military veterans and spouses, and they also helped us make our videos with $0 30. If you haven't seen those, go check them out because we get to interview different spouses. We get to go indoor skydiving. We did some surfing. I lost my watch. We went to the mountains. I got to wear a ghillie suit. Didn't piss in the ghillie suit, so didn't feel like I got the full experience, but that's on me. Nobody at Starbucks told me not to piss in my ghillie suit, but they've also hired the biggest thing that we want to tell you is that they've hired 21,000 military spouses. And they are proud to announce that it's 5 years. They've actually, since they've hired the 21,000, they're going to double their commitment and keep on going. I would bet this is not part of the ad read or part of the deal at all. I would bet by the time that this is done, besides like the VA and other government agencies, Starbucks will be the biggest hire of veterans that there is in the
country. Yeah.
I mean, it's very possible. There's a lot of corporations that are committed to hiring veterans in the hundreds.
But if they're doubling 21,000 spouses, that's 40,000. That's enormous. That's
no, I understand. But there's corporations that are in the hundreds of thousands committed to 100,000 veterans, and it's just they're bigger than Starbucks.
A simple yes would have been. A simple yes would have been fine. They're doing great things.
They're doing amazing things.
Including now you can get your degree from Arizona State Online College Degree. Visit the starbucks.com/veterans. That's starbucks.com/veterans. Here we go. This, I don't even know really where to start with this because I think going to strip clubs is so ingrained in military cultures. And this isn't just for guys. This is women too. Women go. Kate, did you go to strip clubs when you were in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it. I mean, if you are in the military, you go. There's a reason why if you go to any base in the country, there is going to be a place to get your hair cut, a place to get a payday loan, and a place to watch people dance around in pasties.
And a place that's to pay military money to get a boner that you can't satisfy.
Mm. Yeah.
Terrific.
Well,
and tattoo parlors.
I don't know about that. When I came back from Iraq, I messed my britches in a strip club. Don't speak for everybody, Kay.
Well, the Army has actually come out with a story. This is in Task and Purpose. Christmas is the season when people think about the North Pole, but the Army is more concerned with keeping recruiters away from pole dancers. All Army recruiters have been told not to visit strip clubs while they are on temporary duty, because frequenting erotic dance establishments detracts from the focus on the mission, according to a November 20th memo. I feel like this is like when you tell the football player, like, he can't get off before the big game. It has nothing to do with anything. I will say, per the memo, I get it that recruiters on TDY status are conducting official U.S. Army business at taxpayer expense, so it's kind of a bad look.
But isn't that always the case? You're always conducting official business, so you're not supposed to ever do it. I mean, that's just not realistic. I think that we have got to establish a culture where we give people realistic expectations for what they're going to do. You're going to go to a strip club. Like, you just are.
Well, also because when you're on TDY, you're not TDY 24/7. You have your own downtime. And if you go on your own downtime and do whatever it is that you well please with your own money, then I think that's fine. Now, if they start using government funds to go to these establishments, then we have a different story on our hands, and that becomes an issue.
Yeah, but if you say don't go and use your government credit card, I think that's fine.
Got it.
Like, cool. That's normal. Don't get your dick grinded on and use your GSA card. That's right. Normal.
Well,
you're telling adults, you're trying to dictate what they should be doing with their private time.
What this says to me, that they even had a memo about it, is that somebody did go overboard.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody probably did. This wouldn't be, it's not the Army, I don't think, trying to just tell adults what to do. This is a recruiter who went and messed his britches one too many times.
Oh, yeah.
He's grinded on. That's why this is here.
Well,
this feels very reactionary.
If you're a Marine Corps recruiter, you're probably going to be wearing your dress blue deltas, your dress blue trousers, which I know from experience, those bad boys show stains big time. So, I mean, same color dress as Monica Lewinsky. That's all I'll say about
it. You know what the person at the dry cleaners always says when you bring in your dress blues after the ball and stuff, because they know you get it on.
What do they say?
Oh, come again. Because it sure is. A lot of come again on those pants. My favorite part of that memo, real quick, though, was that for the purpose of this policy, erotic dance establishment means a nightclub, theater, or other establishment which features live performances by topless and or bottomless dancers or entertainers, go-go dancers, strippers, or similar entertainers, where such performances are characterized by an emphasis on sexual activities or anatomical areas. I just love that, like, this official memo explained to us what a strip club is.
Well, because they would have to do it. I mean, if you were going to get NJP or something, like, actually, not sure if it was a stripper, because it was just her vulva was out. There were no titties involved at all, so technically it's not a strip club or anything like that. But I like how it was gender neutral, because you can't go to Chippendales either.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Well, I still did anyway, but I'm just saying. Well, no, but when I was at Fort Leonard Wood, I went to the strip club there. I think it was called Big Louie's or something.
Oh, yeah. It was called Big Louie's.
Oh, yeah.
No, and Big Louie's was the bar, right? And then there was another strip club that was by, I think Big Louie's was just the bar.
All I know is that it was full nude, and it was a lot of C-section scars and a lot of rough. And so our guys went so frequently. I only went one time, but I came up with a cadence about it that I would sing when we were running. That everybody loved, because they loved going to Louie's so much that the strippers actually came to our Fort Leonard Wood MP graduation. So it was nobody goes to these graduations because it's in the middle of nowhere. It's not a big graduation. So it was just us in the back. And then in the front was like a purple mohawk, a woman with like triple D's, a woman with like, when they're all waving to her, I'm like, hey, Chastity. That's the
most Fort Leonard Wood story of all time. When I was in Japan, I had a Marine check in. And he was like, hey, Corporal, I got to get my wife added to my benefits so she can come visit me in Japan. I was like, devil dog, that's probably not going to happen. You're a PFC. You're probably not going to get it until you're a corporal. That's at least 2 years that you're looking at. By that time, you'll be going back. He's like, my wife can't come visit me. I'm like, no, you're on unaccompanied orders. Like, what's your wife's name? And he's like, Starbright. I was like, Starbright. Is that her real name? Like, yeah, she got it changed legal name, Starbright.
Wow. That's unfortunate. And I've told the story before. I had the one PFC who decided to marry a dancer 2 weeks before we were deploying in order to up those benefits while we were deployed. And then a month into it, he realized that was a bad idea when she stole everything from him.
That's pretty good. But Kate, this is a nice little mixture of a Kate little ism in a story. One of my old Marines married before he went to Afghanistan, married the cashier at Wawa that he met.
Oh, nice.
Wawa love.
That's brilliant. Got to get that goose. I like that. That's smart.
How's those Wawa benefits?
Oh, those Wawa bennies are. She probably married him to get him in on the Wawa bennies. That's how good they are.
You get more money and money off at Wawa. That's like double dipping.
Yeah, I think you get free coffee and tasty cakes for life too. I don't know, but I have one other stripper. I was thinking about strippers in the military and like how ingrained it is in our culture. I remember another time when I was in a bunch of the Lance Corporals. I'm like, where are you guys going? They're like, oh, our friend, it was their stripper friend's car broke down. They're like, we're off to the 405. We're going to give her a lift. I'm like, you know, she's not really like your friend, right? Like I'm glad you're helping her, but like, you know, she doesn't really love you, right? And then I had a sergeant whose wife worked at the Purple Church in Oceanside, which I forget the name of the strip club, but it had purple awnings. So the guys called it the Purple Church. And because his wife danced there, he forbade all the guys from going there. Which I think it was on like the no-no list anyway, but
And I'm sure I'm sure they all obeyed that to a man. Yeah.
I know for a fact they did not obey that. So Drama.
Do you remember the story a couple years ago when President Obama was president and there was a bunch of military members who were on a mission with the Secret Service who got in trouble with prostitutes in Brazil?
Yes.
Those are some of my students.
Yay! I got to help you with
when the story came out, I was so proud of them. And my dad got super high and mighty because he spent 20 years in the Navy. And he was like, I can't believe they're doing this stuff. I'm like, dude, do you honestly expect me to believe that they weren't doing that in the Navy too? Like, that's what you do. Like, you go to foreign ports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of my corporals, the first time I was ever really grossed out while I was in the military, one of my corporals went to Djibouti, like he was deployed to Djibouti, Africa, and went out in town, like on his liberty, and hooked up with a prostitute. The AIDS rate at the time in Djibouti was like 45%. Like, wow. It was a huge issue. And he was like, yeah, I didn't use a condom. I was drunk. I was like, oh my.
Idiot. God. Oh man.
Not good. Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
I will say, for the regular ladies who are dancing it up, thanks for keeping up morale.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no change to that game. You want to take money from the Lance Coolies? I support you.
Yeah, I do too.
And morale is important, and that is an important part of what their job entails. So we cannot take that away from them.
I mean, you deserve every penny you get because you get the way that you get treated, like,
mm-hmm.
not great.
Not fun.
Can't imagine.
No.
And as a matter of fact, the Army should subsidize it. I'm going to make that stance now. You should be able to put it on your GSA card and tip at 50% because you're helping out.
I like that. I'm on board with that too.
So. Yeah. You're keeping local businesses afloat. I don't know why that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, because it's hard to get up whenever you're on duty unless you're using our good friends at Four Hems, because if you got erectile dysfunction, my friend, they'll get your boner right in proper order. It might even work on clitorises. I'm not sure.
It does, buddy.
Standing at attention in one way or the other. If you need to get your boner right, you might as well go with some real doctors that have medical grade solution. They're going to treat hair loss and your boner loss all at one-stop shop. There's no snake oil pills, gas station counter supplements, or any of that shit. There's no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits being like, hey doc, can't get my dick card. That's a weird place to be, especially when you're on base and you're trying to go through that and they add it to your thing. Commanding officer calls in like, recruit, let me see your fucking penis. All that stuff's going on. You don't have to deal with any of that with 4Hims. 4Hims.com/ZBT. That's FORHIMS.com/ZBT. 4Hims.com/ZBT to get your boner right, get your hair right, get all kinds of stuff right. And I think if it works for your hair, Kate, this is for ladies. If you want your fingernails to grow fast, probably work the same.
I do. They're always short and stubby, so I'll work same. On it. I was about to make a really bad clit reference, so I'll shift back to you.
All right. So there's a lot of other really big news happening in the world, like this Ukraine and the Russia situation. That shit is crazy. Tensions are rising because Russia's being Russia. Russia's just going out there. They're the bully on the block right now.
They are. Yes.
I mean, just last week we talked about how they had one of their jets that was flying by one of our Navy jets that was going in there, the plane that wasn't like for defense, just for supervising shit. Now they're out there capturing boats. On Sunday, two Ukrainian gunboats and a tug were sailing in some straits. There's all kinds of names in here. I'm not even going.
The Kerch Strait? Yeah, it's Kerch between Strait. Crimea and Russia. It's this little area there.
And then they're in the Black Sea. Their FSB border guards say that they floated violated Russian territorial waters after the SFB had temporarily closed an area off to shipping. Ukraine calls it a flagrant violation of international law because the incident happened in the Black Sea, which is free for shipping, and annex Crimea belongs to the Ukraine. So they're doing all kinds of shit. They're actually about to go into martial law. We had a guy that was going to go on. He was in the Ukraine, but he texted me this morning. He's like, hey, shit's too crazy over here right now. They're about to institute martial law. I can't get on the phone. I don't want to risk it getting like my transmissions captured. And I was like, whoa.
That's fairly serious.
Like, yeah, and I just happened to find him on Twitter, shot him a DM, and this dude's in the thick of it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going down a rabbit hole on Twitter, and people are saying this is like a razor's edge of shit could really, really pop off here. And it's crazy, too, because the Russia, Ukraine, and Kiev, they cite a 2003 treaty that says unimpeded access to the Kerch Strait and the Sea of Azov. And that's exactly where this went down. So Russia knows that there's a treaty saying this is fine. And it's the most dangerous clash at sea off Crimea since Russia annexed the Ukrainian peninsula in 2014. They're holding three boats now. One was rammed on Sunday by an FSB vessel. And the Russian forces opened fire before seizing the boats. So,
and the dudes who were injured, they got fucking flown to Moscow. Can you imagine being in the middle of Moscow after, if you're a Ukrainian sailor, got up on your boat by a Russian boat, then you're inside, not just inside, but like in the heart of Russia at Moscow getting your surgery. That would be scary. I mean, just getting your boat seized by another, a foreign entity would be scary. Remember when that happened with Iran?
Iran
a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Fucking scary, man.
Yeah. And then you're in a country that is quite dicey and you don't know if you're ever coming home. And this situation just feels like Russia is going to act unimpeded until someone steps up. They're just acting, obviously they're ignoring this treaty, and they appear as though they're going to act however they wish until someone steps up and stops them. And in that part of the world, there are very few powers over there that can combat the strength of the Russian military. So
that it's want to scary. Like there's some powers, there's some military powers that could fuck up Russia from over there. Like
sure,
China could, India could, Pakistan could,
but they want to get in the mix.
They do like isolationist ideology.
Right. They don't want to get in the mix, because then who knows? They're very unstable as a country right now, Russia, that is. So it's scary that until someone steps to them, I think we might see actions like this going forward a lot more in the future.
And not just them. Same things happen with old Saudi Arabia too. Saudi Arabia is doing all kinds of twisted shit.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I read those stories about what's going on in Yemen, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, there's a lot of people acting up right now. I think there's only one force that can stop it.
What's that?
What are you guys doing this weekend?
Not that.
You want to go over there? No. I think ZPT could be the ones to stop it.
My war fighting days are over.
And then they'll be disarmed by our charm.
Speaking of that, we got Six Flags. I walked around Six Flags for like maybe 2 hours. I was broke off. My hip was fucking popping out. I was limping, couldn't barely get to my truck. My wife is like, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm just falling apart at the seams." I looked at myself. I looked fat, disheveled, came home, trimmed my beard up because I looked at myself when I was walking, breathing hard, asthma was acting up. I'm just a fat piece of shit.
You fell out at Six Flags, buddy.
I did. I fell out.
That's rough.
You weren't even, and what makes it even more rough is I'm going to go out on a limb and say you weren't carrying any sort of ruck. So you weren't carrying any weight other than what you're carrying on.
No, just McCartney. I ruck McCartney around from time to time when she gets tired of walking because she wears the wrong shoes. But that's part of it, I guess. One more story. That's always a little – well, we got a couple more stories, actually. Mm-hmm. So there is – we always talk about stolen valor. I think stolen valor or something.
Stolen valor.
It triggers a lot of the veteran community. And we're all kind of on the record as saying that we don't really care a lot about stolen valor. Like for the guy standing outside the wall while they're just trying to get a free coffee on Veterans Day. Don't care about that. There's a story that we do care about. There's a veteran who defrauded the VA for nearly $200,000. He claimed to have served in the Navy. He claimed that he had experience in combat during Vietnam. And he claimed to have suffered injuries and trauma and received 2 Purple Hearts for his service. None of the South Carolina man's claims were true. Keith Hudson pleaded guilty for defrauding the government out of close to $200,000 on Tuesday. The Charleston man received a prison sentence. He's going
barely.
To, 6 months incarceration in Bureau of Prisons and 6 months of home confinement. For a crime that's $200,000 is pretty surprising, I would say.
And that sentence is 1/20th of the maximum time he could have gotten. And the craziest part to me, he's done this before. He was prosecuted for the same scheme in Connecticut in 2005. So, I mean, how – this is like white-collar crime that I don't understand, where they get these little tiny slaps on the wrist when somebody who does a much lesser crime gets hit so much harder. I feel like a PFC who, like, whilst they're NVGs would get a harsher – this is insane.
And the fact that it's a second time, this dude also had to get a psychiatric evaluation. There's got to be something wrong with him. I also think that whenever you look at somebody and they're 70 years old, you're like, fuck else are you gonna do? Like, you're 70 years old, how long are you gonna go to prison for, type thing? And do you really learn your lesson? Like, is prison supposed to be punitive or like rehabilitative? Like, it's hard to really get on. $200,000 is a lot of money, because that could have gone to somebody else. And not just that, but the time that it takes to go to those places. And he, what I was reading, he didn't even look into it. Like, you would think that somebody was putting this much effort into getting that much money. There is awards that he listed that you can't get while you're in the Navy, like the Army Combat Medic badge. You can't get that while you're in the Navy. There's other Marine Corps medals that he just straight up made up, like, don't exist. How did that get through the cracks for so long? Like, you would think that somebody at the VA is versed enough to be like, this is not true.
Yeah, but you got to remember, chaps, I mean, this just speaks to how much of disarray the VA currently is in and has been in for decades, because there are so many claims that come through that each individual claim probably doesn't get the attention that it warrants. And I mean, something like this, as egregious as, hey, you're in the Navy and you're citing Army and Marine medals, that should have popped up some red flags. But obviously, they are so overworked and so understaffed and lacking a ton of leadership that it is actually not that surprising that this could go on. Because also, too, when you're talking about these claims that come in, once a claim is filed, you just, as long as you don't make a stink, you're just going to keep getting that check, every month. So,
should we be VA truthers, I think is the real question. Because it's like, that might be the real word. People always say that voter fraud is real when there's very few documented cases of voter fraud. I bet VA fraud is
rampant. I bet you it is rampant.
I think my first thought was, what is everybody else getting away with? Yeah. And the same token though, why was it so hard for me to like put in a thing about my ankle 5 years ago when that was like real? Like, why is that so hard? But this guy can do it twice.
Oh, shit. I don't think I've told you guys yet. So I had another VA, like every 2 or 3 years, I have to do a reevaluation for my mental stuff. Mm-hmm. It came back. Mine said, as a veteran of the Gulf War, like that's what mine said. I was like, first of all, I must really look old if that's what they put on there, is that I'm a veteran of the Gulf War. Because you have to be 50 now to be.
At least.
They probably saw you lugging around Six Flags and they're like, oh, that Gulf vet.
And the very last line, I think, is thank you for your service in the Gulf War. I was like,
wow.
That's not me. That's not me, friend. I'm not a member of the Gulf War.
Yeah, but this is someone at the VA who is probably overworked, who sees hundreds of claims a day and is just plowing through them.
I mean, you copy paste out your fucking
too.
I mean, just copy paste.
Yeah. Well, no, but Kate, you're right. I mean, you know, it's a shame that someone is able to get away with this and then someone like you who legitimately has a claim and needs the assistance and needs the disability claim to be put through properly has such a problem. It really is disheartening. And it just, as I said, speaks to the disarray that the VA is currently in. Just another example.
Yeah, it's crazy. But just know that we're not sleeping on the issue. But you know who is sleeping a little better? That Navy is, my friend. I've been itching to get that transition out for them. Big transition fan. But yeah, so U.S. Navy sailors working on board aircraft carriers are now being given the chance to get 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep per 24-hour period following a change in policy in the wake of 2 fatal collisions last year that killed 17 crew members in the Pacific Fleet. The change extends to all carrier sailors, not just the ones in aviation-related jobs. So basically, they completed reviews following the USS Fitzgerald and the USS John McCain accidents, and fatigue and ineffective management of sleep were found to be contributing factors to this. And that's crazy to me that these huge things and this loss of life, these things are preventable. But that also, I think there's this culture of, like, you're kind of a pussy if you're sleeping 8 hours a night. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like frowned upon almost. Like, oh, you got 8 hours? Huh?
Also right now across the military, as the article states, pilots are required. They have to get 8 hours or they can't fly. So if they mandate that for everyone, it's like, oh, now we're all soft like pilots. But it very well is a reason to have problems and potentially not do your job to the best of your ability if you're tired. So, I mean, to mandate that everyone get 8 hours, I don't think that's realistic. But I think the commanders in every situation should use a little more discretion and try to get their soldiers and sailors rest when they can.
Have either of you ever had a situation or an incident that you know was tied to being like delusional from lack of sleep?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I damn near got a house attacked. Like I was on rooftop security and we had just did this long ass movement. I was fucking exhausted. Luckily I had a cigarette in my mouth. I had fell asleep on the roof, like in Overwatch security. and I was inside a blind, and I was smoking a cigarette, and the ash fell down and burned through my thing to wake me up. And at that time, right when I woke up, there was a vehicle coming too close. We had to fire off flares and warning shots, and they like went around like the other way. But I was thinking, shit, man, like if I hadn't have been smoking, who knows? I mean, because once you pass out, you could be there forever. Like, and you don't, it's one of those spots where you don't know how long you've been asleep. I was just glad I had the cigarette in my mouth to show me like, oh, you probably weren't asleep for longer than like.
Oh yeah. Lesson here, smoke.
Yeah. I'm on
board. And it's cool.
Smoking actually saves lives.
And it looks cool. And you look cool as fuck when you're doing it.
You look so cool when you're smoking, dude.
I was on a mission one time, and the mission was only, we were only supposed to be outside the wire about 4 hours, but we found something, had to wait for EOD to come blow it up. And long story short, we ended up being out for like 10 hours, came back super early. And then we were scheduled to go back out in 2 hours. And I wasn't about to go tell my battalion commander like, hey, sir, we were just out all night and we can't do it. So we just turned around 2 hours, went back out. I put my
job out doing all night. Were you at like a strip club or something?
Yeah, those Iraqi strip clubs are well known for keeping us busy.
They're good.
I was like, oh, my driver's been driving all night. I put him down. I put someone else in my driver's seat, and I have a picture of it. He fell asleep and drove us off the road nearly into a canal. Like, we were partly into a canal. If we had went all the way in the canal, we might have drowned. So, yeah, not a good idea to operate on little sleep.
That happened, unfortunately, the memorial bracelet that I wear, that happened on our first deployment. They had been up all night long. They had like no sleep, and the driver fell asleep at the wheel. The MRAP flipped upside down in the canal, and several of our guys drowned. They died.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So it was, they couldn't get them out because their doors were combat locked. And it was directly related partially to lack of sleep.
Yeah.
They just fell asleep at the wheel and that's that. But there's a lot of, we had another incident too, where we were up in the field. And it was like a super all night ops. And then they had us drive our convoy back at like 4 a.m. And one of the Humvees almost went over the railing. And like, thank God that the railing was there, 'cause they would have gone over a cliff, like this Humvee full of whatever. Yeah. So I do think, like, you can be like, oh, you don't need sleep, over, but I think you could talk to anybody in the military and they will have a story for you about a time things got really dangerous because of lack of sleep. I also get that in combat situations, sometimes that's a luxury that you just don't get and that you need to learn to operate without it. But I think there's like a medium in there where sometimes it's like clearly super irresponsible and you have to figure out what to do in between there. But
And as I said, I think that's when a commander needs to step in, or who's ever in a leadership position, and say, hey, like, all right, we need to get some rest.
See, I thought Kate was going to go super light again, and then she went like, sorry, that's two episodes in a row that I thought Kate was going to bring some levity, and then she got even darker.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But it's true. It's just like, you know, you have these anecdotes that you're like, oh my God, you read these things. And I think so many people have like these stories that they can relate to.
Yeah. And that's what's interesting.
What do you guys have for Thanksgiving? Pie? Oh, my uncle loved pie and he's dead.
Yeah. That reminds me of a terrible time. Speaking of, I did, if we could chat a little Thanksgiving for a second, I went to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How was that?
It was the town of Bentonville, Arkansas. I felt like if I stood in the town square and yelled a cuss word, like the whole town would come to a screeching halt.
Oh, probably so. Like,
but yeah, and it definitely got like a very like proud to be an American kind of town.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Just
proud the bloody and the bark. But yeah, no, so definitely it was like Sim City, like Walmart stamped down this perfect little town there. But it was good. I had these hush puppies. Here, I'm lighting it up.
Oh, hush puppies.
I had myself hush puppies. Good. I had some sweet tea. I don't even know if that's Arkansas stuff, but I made sure that I had some.
I mean, it's Southern cuisine for sure.
I did eat a lot of food. Yeah. Did you guys have good Thanksgivings?
Yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Went to my church and hung out there for a while, made a little bit of food. We went to Six Flags twice. We're trying to take advantage of that. Doing like for Christmas, we're doing big time experiences instead of gifts this year. So I'm excited about that, making the kids do that. And McCartney went on the scariest ride that she was allowed to go on, like that she fit, and she was digging it. And I think my favorite part is because she's so little, but she's on the cusp of becoming big, you know, like where she's going to be a big kid, but she's at the place where she wants to do scary stuff as long as she's holding my hand. Like that's the caveat, which makes me feel so good as the dad. She's like, I'll do this ride, but I got to sit by dad and he's got to hold my hand.
Yeah. That's gotta melt your heart.
Yeah. That's the best.
And Cons, I was judging you a little bit.
Why?
I grew up kind of near the King of Prussia Mall, and I saw your tweet. It was like, I'm giddy. We're going to the King of Prussia Mall.
I love malls. I don't know what it is. I love malls in general. And obviously King of Prussia, a little fun fact, it has the most leasable square footage in the country. So obviously it's a huge mall.
That fact actually wasn't that fun. That was the worst fun fact. Yeah.
maybe lame fact that only
fun fact. Let's do a little real estate goofing.
But no, I love malls, especially at Christmas time when it's kind of hectic and everything's decorated. I don't know, something about it just does it for me.
You heard it here first. Captain Cons loves malls.
Yeah, I'm a mall guy.
I hate that stuff, but I'm glad that you like it. Get your Indian's pretzel. People watch a little bit.
Oh yeah,
learn about square footage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we're done with Christmas shopping too, which is wonderful.
Wow,
wrapped up underneath the tree. Gus was hanging out all weekend. Dude's doing some serious farting. I switched up his food. It is outrageous. It's stuff like God. It wakes me up from a dead sleep. Not just like I'm like kind of asleep. I woke up legitimately thought that somebody had set off an attack in my room. Yeah.
I saw your tweet about you are sleeping with a sound monitor or sound machine on now, but your dog's wind still wakes you.
It's bad. It's really bad. No more snoring, but the gas is fucking outrageous. All right, we'll be back on Friday.
Well, we should.
Alejandro Villanueva.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Alejandro Villanueva for scoring a touchdown. It's got to be the first West Point grad to score a touchdown in the NFL.
He definitely
20
is.
Years, right?
No. I think if you maybe you go back and Doc Blanchard Davis, they had some time in the NFL, but yeah, modern day NFL, he's the first guy in a long time. And also credit to Alejandro. I think if you're just a regular person, you probably maybe noticed this, but didn't realize what you were looking at. But something that I think veterans and active duty folks really responded to was Alejandro handed out decals for various Army units that all the guys had on their helmets, which was very cool. And I think that is more effective to connect veterans to the NFL than anything the NFL as a whole does. So credit to Alejandro.
I think that's the third year in a row he's done that too.
There was definitely a story about it last year. And you're right. I think it might be the third year in a row. But and I think what he does is hand out each patch of the emblem of the unit and explain what that unit is all about to whoever is wearing it so they can kind of appreciate what it is that they're showcasing. And as I said, I saw people talking about it on Twitter and the people really resonated with that action by him. So credit to Alejandro and credit to Army's equipment staff who sent him those decals to get those on the helmets of those guys.
Yeah, very nice. I love that. And that's for the Steelers?
Yeah, it was for the Steelers yesterday.
Wow. You know what's not a terrible towel?
What's that?
The beautiful fabric of our American flag.
That's true.
Amen.
Well said, Kate. Also, I want to give a shout out to, I don't like to do this because he gets his dick sucked enough, but to Dave Portnoy from 6 to 8 on the Cyber Monday deal that happened yesterday, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, 50% of those profits are going to go to Canines for Warriors, which is, I mean, when he said that, he told me that he was going to make this partnership with Canines for Warriors, I was thinking like 10% because Cyber Monday is such a huge seller for us. It's such an important part of our business. Like the Thanksgiving, Christmas sales, obviously are a huge part of our business to be self-sustainable, to not have to rely on ads all the time. 50% on Cyber Monday from on the telethon is an insane number. I mean, it could end up being well into the hundreds of thousands of dollars that's going to be donated, which is going to make a huge impact on lots of people's lives. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. I was so happy. I was legitimately, when I read that email this morning, I was shocked at the number, the percentage.
Yeah, very cool.
It really is very, very awesome. And please come out on, if you're listening to this, come out, if you're in New York City, come out and listen to Kate give a wonderful speech at the Operation Healer Heroes Gala on Friday night.
I'm going to do jazz hands on stage.